The News That Rocked Us in 2011 by Rosie Moriarty Simmons. From a tsunami that buried Japan to the New Zealand earthquake and devastating floods hitting Australia, 2011 was a year when disasters shook the world. And we cheered with Tunisia, Egypt and Libya as they all freed themselves from crushing dictatorships. Ice and snow caused major inconvenience to drivers and commuters at the start of 2011. The resignation of Hosni Mubarak, the Egyptian president, led the news in February. His departure came after weeks of protest in Cairo and other cities across Egypt. A 6.3 magnitude earthquake hit Christchurch, New Zealand, and speaking while the death toll was still rising, Prime Minister John Key said, "We may be witnessing New Zealand's darkest day." Japan suffered a devastating earthquake and tsunami on the 11th of March. The knock-on effects of the tsunami in Japan forced governments around the world to review their nuclear power policies. Chancellor George Osborne revised down the UK's forecast for growth in his annual budget statement. The 50% tax rate for the highest earners remained, but fuel duty cuts were announced. On the 29th of April, Prince William and Kate Middleton were married in London's Westminster Abbey with the eyes of the world upon them. Osama bin Laden's death at the hands of US forces was announced by President Barack Obama on the 2nd of May. Bin Laden is believed to have ordered the attacks on New York and Washington on the 11th of September 2001.
2011 was the year when the space shuttle was consigned to the scrap heap. The US suffered extreme weather disasters. Mexico's drug war plumbed to new depths. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was embroiled in a sex scandal, and Gabrielle Giffords captured the heart of the United States nation.
The singer Amy Winehouse was found dead on the 23rd of July at her North London home, only aged 27. Later in the year, a coroner reported that the singer had died as a result of drinking too much alcohol. People held their breath in horror as madman Anders Breivik butchered 77 people in Norway's capital, Oslo. Rioting unexpectedly broke out in Tottenham, North London, on the 6th of August, before the violence spread to other cities, including Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool and Bristol over the next few days. The shocking scenes helped make the 9th of August the largest day for traffic in the history of the BBC News website, with just under 15.9 million browsers. On the 20th of October, the Libyan ruler Colonel Gaddafi was killed as his hometown of Sirte was overrun by the forces of the National Transitional Council. Initially, it was unclear if he had been killed or captured, but slowly gruesome mobile phone pictures emerged which showed beyond doubt that Gaddafi was dead. The British Embassy in Tehran was attacked in November by demonstrators opposed to sanctions imposed by the UK. Militant students burned the British flag and smashed windows in anger at the British response to Iran's nuclear programme. The Eurozone debt crisis gripped European politics. Economic woes in a handful of countries affected the whole Eurozone and beyond. The indignant protesters in Spain set the agenda, fluid and unfocused as they may have been, for the Occupy movements in New York and London and beyond. The year had been dominated by arguments over the Health and Social Care Bill and its impact on the NHS, whilst budget squeezes have impacted on services. And for the first time in a decade, under the Hardest Hit campaign, thousands of disabled people and their allies took to the streets in towns and cities across the country to add their voices to the clamour for a change of direction on welfare reform and an immediate end to cuts to vital local services. There have been huge changes in the way which we receive and consume news of these events, which has become as significant as the events themselves. As English cities smouldered after nights of guerrilla consumerism, politicians and pundits debated the logistics of suspending the social media sites which marauding hoodies had supposedly plotted the riots, and how many people first got the news of Steve Jobs' death via one of his own devices. But it wasn't just at the speed with which the news travelled or the medium that carried it that made 2011 stand apart from previous years. The news itself, the whole convoluted question of what we should and shouldn't be allowed to know, hogged the headlines for weeks on end. Julian Assange went from crusading hero to arrogant, dangerous weirdo, depending on who was telling the story. But the question raised by WikiLeaks of the extent to which governments should be entitled to keep secrets from people who elect them remain live topics. The super injunctions saga in the UK prompted smirks and sniggers, again many of them echoing around social media sites, which tended to be less nervous about libel laws, but did raise significant questions about whether public figures should be entitled to private lives. Murdoch's News of the World, which had been rumbling for years, suddenly burst into public view, engulfing several careers, dragging several other newspapers into the argument, and alerting us to Hugh Grant's middle name. More recently, Kim Jong-il, the North Korean leader, whose iron rule and nuclear ambitions dominated world security fears for more than a decade, died. Kim Jong-un, Mr. Kim's third son, was hailed as the supreme leader of the party, state and army, who has inherited the character and ideology of his father. And to end off the year, we had the Queen's birthday honours for 2011, and I am delighted to report that a good family friend of mine, Mrs. Mary Maunder, received an MBE for voluntary service to the community in Cardiff.
And that was a review of the news headlines in 2011 by Rosie Moriarty Simmons for Able Radio.